Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I think we'll get a start. We're close enough to 5:30. Welcome to this meeting of the Infrastructure Works and Development Committee. No need to go through arrangements in relation to people in attendance from the public gallery, so I don't need to say that. We'll go straight to apologies. The date's the 13th of August, 2018. There's no apologies that I'm aware of, and we've got a full house here, so that takes care of that. Declarations of interest. Are there any declarations of interest? Thank you. Item 3.1, nothing. 3.2, nothing. We'll go straight to item 4, which is a report only, doesn't require resolution. So we'll move on to item 5.1. Do I have a mover, please?
I move, Mr. Chair.
Oh, happy
Thank
to
you,
second
Alderman
that.
Goodwin. Second, Alderman Jarman. Alderman Goodwin.
No, not a great deal to add, Mr. Chairman. The whole process is there, and it's certainly a good outcome for the area. It's getting a huge amount of use out there, and it'll certainly solve a lot of the problems that we've been faced with over the years, or the operators have been faced with. Thank you.
Thank you. Alderman Jarman.
Yes, through you, if I might ask just a question in
sure.
relation to part of it. On
sure.
page 10, figure 7, which is proposed works for 2021, I suppose it's through to Kylie. Is there going to be lighting, or are we going to aim to... I just don't know if there's a thought of that, because it's certainly it's such a great car park that's really needed when we do get to that point. And if people want to, say, use it for the restaurants at night, is there a possibility to look at some lighting as well? Oh, sorry.
Through you, Mr.
This
Chairman.
Is both of them.
Yeah. Well, definitely this one anyway, I was thinking...
Yeah, public lighting would certainly be considered as part of any project. Doesn't mean that it'll definitely go ahead, but would
no.
certainly consider it.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Nothing further.
Thank you, Alderman Jarman. Are there any other speakers? No? Alderman Goodwin to close.
Consider it closed, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. I'll put the recommendation. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Against nay? The ayes have it. Thank you. Item 5.2, do I have a mover, please? Alderman Matthews. Alderman Laycock, thank you. Alderman Matthews.
Yes.
Thank you, Alderman Matthews. Alderman Laycock?
Nothing to add.
Thank you. Are there any further speakers? Alderman Jarman.
This strategy is fantastic, but again, a question, if I may. How much solar really are we looking at? With everything we go to do, the biggest question that comes from the community out there is, are you doing solar? Are you doing solar? I know solar can cost more, and it's not as easy as just hooking up to a system with some of the lighting that we've been doing in the past. But what is our future methods of environmentally friendly lighting?
Through you, Mr. Chairman, you're correct. We consider solar every time we put a light in now. We have a number around the city. The most obvious for you is the exercise equipment at the Bluff.
Yes.
And we will continue to roll that out. Not necessarily always be the best option for council, but you'd also be aware that in council's recently adopted environmental strategy,
correct,
that's also got an action that requires us to consider alternative energy sources. So that's council's commitment to that.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any further speakers? I'll ask Alderman Matthews to close.
Okay.
Thank you. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye. Aye. Against, nay. The ayes have it. Thank you. Item 5.3, do I have a mover, please? Thank you, Alderman Matthews. Alderman Goodwin, thank you. Alderman Matthews.
Yes, the road network strategy is adopted in April 2015. There were 22 actions noted, 9 of them underway, 8 are completed, 5 yet to commence. So making good progress. Thank you.
Thank you. Alderman Goodwin.
The report,
thank you. Any further speakers? Alderman Rockliffe.
Thank you. Excuse me. A question and a comment, I guess. Item 8.5 says investigate and develop the Stony Rise intersection with Mersey Road and Devonport Road. I would have thought that was the one we've just done, or is that the next one along? On page 157. Page 157 on my list, and it's item 8.5. I don't know where Mersey Road, Devonport Road and Stony Rise Road meet, to be honest.
Through you, Mr. Chairman, we might take that one on notice and just follow that up with the engineer.
I mean, Stony Rise and Mersey Road we've just done, but I don't know where Stony Rise and Devonport Road actually meet anywhere. And the other question I had is item 8.12. Not 8.12. We were talking about Don College there somewhere. Can we get an update on what's happening with that Don College?
Through you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
My understanding is that we've been able to come to agreements with State Growth on what the possible solution is for the bus stop at, or changes to the bus stop at Don College. And our city engineer is reasonably confident that he is will reach an agreement with them for State Growth to fund those works as well. But we haven't actually got that confirmed in writing at this stage.
So that creates more parking. That was the issue, I think, wasn't it, as much as anything?
Oh, it's not going to
mark. Through you, Mr. Chairman, there's two separate issues there, and the one that's talked about in the report is the bus stop issue for Don College, which is obviously on a council road and requires council's input. Don College's parking issues is probably a bit more for them at this stage.
Thank you.
Thank you, Alderman Rockliffe. Alderman Emerson.
Thank you, Chair. I'm pleased that in the preamble it mentions about Action 7, about the Middle Road interchange as it intersects there with the Bass Highway. Whilst the widening has improved it, particularly for people turning left to go to past Home Hill to Stony Rise, etc., that's certainly been improvement. But realistically, there's been no improvement for anyone that wants to turn right. It's actually quite dangerous. I've done this several times myself because I come home that way pretty well every night. But certainly in the later afternoons and that when there's a lot more traffic on our roads, turning right there is hazardous. It is a stop, so everyone stops and that's okay. But I believe that until we actually deal, it's not us, it's State Growth, but I'm stating this for the record, that until there is some better improvements, and that would be lights and only lights, that you actually can turn, because you pretty well, it's just dangerous, because the people turning right to go onto Bass Highway and go towards Burnie, they're right where you want to turn if you're turning right. And so I think I'm pleased that it's noted there that we're doing regular traffic counts, and I would continue to ask council to continue to do that and to continue to bring reports back so that we can put the pressure, if we can. Hopefully statistically you'll line up, because from a practical point of view, I have sat there for 5 minutes trying to turn right, and I think that's unacceptable in today's modern traffic world. Thank you.
Thanks, Alderman Emerson. Alderman Milne?
I definitely concur with Alderman Elton about that middle road turn off. I hit there about 5 to 4. Around 4 o'clock, and it's just a nightmare, just really dangerous to try and get down, get it anywhere. So, yeah, if we could work on that, that would be fantastic. 8.7 talks about the Mersey Main Road and Kilsey Tier access as well, and someone spoke to me in the community about that the other day, that they've waited at that intersection again for a considerable amount of time, trying to get out into the traffic. So if something could be done there, that's quite a populated area up there as well. So people trying to, you know, get back into town or get to work or whatever, it's quite problematic. So it'd be great to have a look at that.
Thank you. I just think in relation to 8.5, the one that Alderman Rockliffe raised, I think that intersection would be Stony Rise Road intersects with Mersey Road, and Devonport Road would be the one diagonally opposite the cemetery. Would that be correct?
No.
It's actually Mersey. I think it refers to Mersey Road. I think that's actually Mersey Main Road. Is that right?
Stony Rise Road.
Stony Rise comes down the hill and heads past what used to be the milk factory. It's now a logistics operation.
Yeah.
I think it's the little intersection just past that. I think that's what the intersection is that we're referring to there. No, I think that's what 8.5 is referring to that Alderman Rockliffe raised.
find out. Thank you.
I think it is, yeah. I don't. Okay, are there any further speakers?
A question. What about Annette's got a... Annette got a...
No. Right off. All right, I have a question. I want to go with Alderman...
Oh, you're closing now, Alderman Matthews?
No, I'm not closing yet. I'm just asking a question.
Right.
Relative to 8.7, and is there any further investigation? I know it said completed construction work, and I have raised this before. Since it's been completed, it is very dangerous, and the traffic there, to people particularly trying to turn right, it's getting in further use all the time, and of course we're talking at some stage where Maidstone Park's going to be totally redeveloped, as we've been talking over the last month or so with Forbes Street, what's happening with that, but this area is just becoming a nightmare. And at 8 o'clock in the morning when it's school time, people go into church to work, and three to five, it's a nightmare, particularly with trucks coming out of the area from the area in there. So I think we need to further look at that intersection, whether it's traffic lights or whether whatever needs further investigation, in my opinion. So is there any potential for that? That's my question.
Through you, Mr. Chairman, we continually discuss that intersection with State Growth, but it is their intersection to and their responsibility. As with the intersection that Alderman Emerton raised his concerns about, hence why we continue to take traffic counts and provide them with as much information as we can. I know the one at Kelsey Tier, State Growth, I guess, as far as traffic volumes and issues for them, it's not in their top few. So the reality is at the moment they're not particularly interested in traffic lights at that location, but we will continue to push those concerns.
I think, if I could add, trucks coming out don't allow, they block the whole area, went to trucks turning right, and I've seen cars banked right up way over the railway line, waiting for a couple of trucks to turn right towards Latrobe when you people want to turn left to go into Dimport. So, yeah, it's a major problem, and if State Growth, they really should be looking at it further. But anyway, thank you for that.
Yeah, all right, I think we're aware of that. Alderman Matthews, would like to close?
Yep, I'll consider it closed. Thank you.
I'll put the recommendation. All those in favour, please say aye. Against, nay. The ayes have it. Item 5.4, do I have a mover, please? Alderman Rockliffe. Seconder?
Second.
Alderman Matthews. Alderman Rockliffe.
I don't have anything to add. It's a very comprehensive report and update, and there's still some funding to be found to continue this project. Thank you.
Thank you. Alderman Matthews.
It was Alderman Goodwin, I think, wasn't it?
Oh,
it don't matter.
I'll take it. Yeah, no, I've got another third to add. Major project. I think it's a great thing, so I said this
before. Thank you. Alderman Jarman, your light's on, is it? Hard to tell from here.
Yeah, my light.
Okay.
Is that better?
Alderman Jarman?
I'll pay you back later. Thank you.
I'll strike it.
Yes. is anyone here that I can ask a question of this that knows anything much more about it?
What?
As in this pathway? Kylie? Yes, if I may.
Mr. Chairman,
yeah, that's fine. So... with the pathway itself, off the first photo that's there, that purple line is the proposed pathway. Is it running which side of the rail? I'm taking it's following the rail.
Correct.
Through you, Mr. Chairman, yes.
So do you know which... is it the seaside or the...
My understanding is the southern side of the railway line.
Looks south.
So it's into the land of the properties there?
That is correct.
Okay. I was told that it was going to be on the other side when I've asked questions previously, not through to you, but when we've had Mr. Leary here or whatever. I was told it's going to be on the other side. So this is the first I've been told it's on the land side. So are they acquiring land?
Through you, Mr. Chairman. I think you'll find in the report it talks about the fact that they haven't progressed any discussions with landowners at this stage.
I know.
The purpose of that report was purely to find a possible layout or alignment that would work. And that really then would become the next phase of the project if and when funding becomes available.
Thank you.
Let me just clarify, Mr. Chair. The current report does, it has changed, so the path now is proposed on the northern side until you get to Lillicoe Road, and then it comes back and goes on the southern side from there on. So heading, if you're heading west, the section from the Don Hill down past the Penguins is on the northern, on the seaside, on the northern side, and then when it gets to the Lillicoe Road, it comes along Lillicoe Road over the train station, train line, and then goes along the southern side on the farm side, if you like, of the rail.
Which is, on the so that,
which is a change from what was previously proposed.
Okay.
So it's the yellow line. Yeah, I'm just trying to find the map.
Okay, any further speakers? Alderman Matthews?
Yeah, I just have a question relative to the link.
Actually, I think you seconded the motion. Is the question?
Yeah, question.
Right, okay.
Your link between Devonport and Latrobe not being considered as part of this project. Now, we've contributed to the consultation process for the three, Wivenhoe to Heybridge, Penguin to Iverson, Leith to Don. Now, I presume we're going to be having to contribute further for that, and I mean, that's part of the pathway as well. So any idea of what the situation is with that?
Through you, Mr. Chairman, each of the councils made a contribution prorated, I believe, on our projects. So we have paid through Cradle Coast Authority for the design or for the report that we've got. We will not be required to make a contribution to the design elements of paths in other municipalities. The reason for that note in the report was to emphasise the fact that this section of the combined project is not a priority, and other councils may want to put their funding to other projects.
Alderman Laycock?
Oh, yes, I did have a question, but I think it's been answered. It was about the landowners' consultation, which hasn't started. Obviously, we'll be paying, so, yep, we'll just wait and see what happens.
Thanks, Alderman Laycock. I would just like to make a comment. This cycleway has been priced at about $14.4 million, and most of us would know that the Cradle Coast Authority is seeking tripartisan support on this to the extent that the federal government has already committed $4.8 million. They're trying to source $4.8 million from the state government. I think so far that's at 1.8, or no, 2.31. So there's a little bit to go there, and the other $4.8 million to come from the councils. And I note the estimate required to deliver our section is $3.75 million out of $4.8. Now that seems pretty disproportionate to me. So does that mean if our section is 3.75, the rest of the councils will only need to find $1.05 million to get it up to 4.8 as council's contribution. So there's something not quite right there. I mean, I think this is a fantastic project, but clearly $3.75 million for us to deliver our section at a time when we have competing interests is going to be very, very difficult.
If I may, is that to our town boundary?
No, to deliver the Devonport section of the coastal pathway, which would be council's responsibility.
Yeah, but it'd start from, say, the Don.
Well, wherever.
And go to our
Don to Latrobe. But bear in mind, this pathway is going from East Devonport to past Wynyard.
Smithton.
What I was thinking was...
It's 110 kilometres.
Would it be calculated because it's in our municipal boundary?
Through you, Mr Chairman, I guess the easiest way to... unless Matt's got a different opinion, but the 3.7 or whatever that Alderman Perry quoted is actually the Devonport component of the 14 million. So if you go thirds, easiest way to look at it is we would be paying a third of 3.7 roughly.
Well, that makes me feel a little bit better. Thanks for clearing that up, Kylie. As I said, we do have some competing interests right now and possibly for the foreseeable future. So thanks for clearing that up.
Sorry, okay. Mr Chairman, the other thing to note on this is that obviously it does have budgetary impacts, and depending on how all the consultation and everything else goes, it will be something that we will have to consider as part of next year's budget process into the forward capital program over a number of years, I would imagine, to achieve the overall project in the Devonport area.
Just if I can, Mr Chairman?
Yes.
Then just quickly. The money for the landowners wouldn't have been factored into that because you've got no idea, so it's going to blow out further than that. Is that the way to look at it?
My understanding is that the estimates at this stage are so budgetary or so pre-project that they've been an allowance incorporated into that for some for
land
the land acquisition, but I guess nothing's got a guarantee. You need a final budget to be able to confirm that.
Thank you.
Alderman Emerton.
Thank you, Chair. I was wondering when you were going to notice me over here in the corner. There's no one here to complain. I hear what we're saying, and I think this is a fantastic project, and it's something that really should be done as a bigger project because it isn't. And look, we know we're going to have another election coming up again soon, and I'd be, I think the Cradle Coast Authority particularly, we've got some money from the feds, but look, they seem to throw a lot of money around the last couple of weeks like it was going out of fashion, everybody. And I would be keen to, one, to factor something into our forward budgets for the next 2, 3, 4, 5 years perhaps, and we do it progressively over a period of time, but certainly to keep knocking on the doors of those lovely people in Canberra and Hobart as well.
Thank you.
Strongly.
Nothing to add, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, I've just got to talk about the number of dog complaints and the number of dogs that are registered in. Oh, wrong ones. To reiterate about the number of dog complaints and the number of dogs that we've got registered in our municipality. I feel very strongly that down on paper we've got all this data about our dogs. Our dogs are well looked after. We've got the lovely dog catcher that catches those recalcitrant dogs that manage to escape. But what about the cats? Got to bring up the cats again. The microchipping, the de-sexing, it's got to be driven home to people in our community that, you know, cat responsibility, getting it out there that people know about keeping their cats enclosed, the availability of quite cheap plans to build cat enclosures. I'm just over cats everywhere.
That's your team, though.
I know, yeah. But those cats don't crap in my yard.
Yeah, through you, Mr. Chair. The state government has done a number of things. They introduced a draft. It was sort of an advisory cat control act, but it was never really implemented. And more recently, they've appointed three people called cat coordinators, I think the title is. There's one in the south, one in the north, and there's one here who is based at the Cradle Coast Authority. She is going to take on the task of educating responsible cat ownership. She has a meeting to come and meet with Paul and the animal control people in the next couple of weeks, I think, Paul. So what the exact strategy is, one of the things that does concern me is that the state, and I presume this lady will have instructions to try and push for a local law, for all councils to introduce a local law for animal control, for cat control. My concern with that would be that we are then setting ourselves up to fail because we will cop all these complaints from people saying, you've got a local law, why aren't you doing something about it? It is almost impossible to catch and control cats. It has to be an education thing of owners that are prepared to do that and do the right thing.
Can I speak again? Yeah, so at the LGAT conference, I had an extensive conversation with a group called Nine Lives, and they work instead of sticking carrot and stick, so instead of beating people over the heads about their cat management, they use the carrot approach, which gets into schools and out in the community and teaches people about the value of neutering their cats, having them microchipped, you know, cats that are well looked after, kept inside the homes, live longer and are more healthy. So anything that's going to improve our perception that cats get put out at night and is going to be very, very beneficial for our community. So, and I'd just like to say also about, you know, setting ourselves up to fail. We've got to start somewhere, Brian. We can't have cats raging all over the state, toxoplasmosis in our wildlife, knocking over populations of, you know, bandicoots and everything out there. If you've seen wildlife with toxoplasmosis, it is the most insidious disease and a slow and horrible death. So getting those cats under control should be one of our major priorities. Thanks.
You do it.
Thank you. The report's very comprehensive. I'd just like to say I hope pleased I am to see that the fitness equipment at East Import's been installed and away. And I noticed that we've advertised to get the toilet block up as quickly as possible, so that'll be, make that area just lovely for summer. So really looking forward to that. And a question about the crossing at Don Memorial Hall. Part of that was not the actual crossing, but part of that, the whole thing was the toilets being installed underneath. Can we have an update on where that's at?
Through you, Mr. Chairman, that project's actually in this year's capital works budget. So once we've got a design, we'll be able to tender that and construct that as well.
Yeah. Lovely, thank you.
Just want to add one thing to the mover. What the mover has said is that crossing at the Don is excellent, regardless where they're crossing to the toilets, to get from one side to the other, because it really is a busy corner. So that looks great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Just a question relative to the, Formby Road, Best Street intersection, waiting finalisation of Living City Hotel design. I guess you've got to wait for that. Any idea of how far away that design might be, so that we can look at that intersection?
We talked
yeah,
about
through
that.
Through the chair, we'd expect within the next couple of months that that'll be finalised.
Yes, if I may, I've got three quick questions. One, good old council are getting blamed for it, but the pontoon has moved from down near the Alamatta. I'm sure it's Mast that have done it. Do we know when it's coming back? I know council apparently have put something up somewhere, but I couldn't find it to answer somebody who asked me.
Through you, Mr. Chairman, we have promoted the exact date off the top of my head. I cannot confirm that for you.
Right.
But you're correct. It's Mast that's doing those works and are responsible for it.
Mm. Right. And people can still access and get the boats off there because that's what they used to do, correct?
Through you, Mr. Chairman, that's correct. We haven't closed the boat ramp.
No.
Or our car park area and those things. It's just that the floating pontoon's not there available for people.
Thank you. Quick congratulations on the big quick clean-up at the bluff that they did. That was incredible because it looked awful, and I can't believe how quickly the staff got down there and did what they did. I don't know how... Did they work 24 hours a day? That was amazing. Anyway, so good congratulations to them.
Was through it? You, Mr. Chairman. I was actually on leave, so you might want to check the works supervisor on that one.
Funny there. And number nine, just in regards to waste, if I could ask a question directly to you... what information do we send, or have we not, ever sent out directly to all the residents of Devonport about recycling, what they can recycle? I know there's something on the lid, but a lot of people don't realise that. But is there something we've actually ever sent out?
Through you, Mr. Chairman, from memory, we all as residents got paraphernalia when we first got our wheelie bins.
Which is how long ago, roughly?
Mm. 10 years.
Right.
Yeah, 10 years, because it was when I first started at Devonport. And... the cradle, it's a contract through the Cradle Coast Waste Management Group.
every year they target different items as a result of the audit that they do on people's recycling wheelie bins. There is information available on Council's website. There's also links back to the Cradle Coast website and their information as well. Mm.
A lot of councils in Australia are now sending out things to the residents that is really... Sorry. Yeah. not on plastic. Don't mind paper. But I'm just saying, a lot of councils are now realising that a lot of people aren't going to go, I wonder if I should recycle this. Let me get on the website and have a look and see if it's allowed.
Through you, Mr Chairman, this year the Cradle Coast Waste Management Group, one of their initiatives that we fund through our levy is the employment of an education officer. So that education officer is going around the different schools and educating children, because as you probably agree, if we can educate them, then that will change behaviour at home. And I'm aware of a number of schools that, particularly around the soft plastics, so that information is filtering through from that point of view.
No worries. Thank you.
Thank you. Alderman Milne?
First of all, I'd like to talk about the tree maintenance. And there was this issue quite recently. Someone had their tree lopped into this shape and sort of was really totally against the shaping of the tree. Is there any way that trees can be shaped instead of like the power lines go straight through and the tree's lopped around like this? Is there a way like Ulverston Council just took the whole top out of the tree so they regrow just to make it look more aesthetic? It takes a bit of height out of the tree. I guess the whole idea of just having your tree split apart like that with some power lines going through looked pretty hideous. And I know at the time that those trees were planted, there was no real understanding of how tall they grow and how that impact on the lines. So I guess what I'm trying to say is there a way to make them look better when they're cut? And secondly, when we do replant, we're planting more sort of trees suited for the urban area that won't impact so much on
through you, Mr. Chairman. The two parts to that question. The first question, I'm not sure if you are aware, but Aurora actually come in and do the trimming around the power lines because they're actually doing that to protect their own assets. Council could choose to fund additional tree works or tree trimming around those trees if that's something that we thought was necessary. The second part of that is, yes, we do consider what trees go where nowadays, for above ground and underground assets, because there's as many issues with your stormwater pipes and Telstra cables as what there is your overhead power lines.
And another thing, the coloured rubber on the street crossings, you know how we've got that non-slip rubber installed? It's not lasting. Is there a lifespan on that?
Through you, Mr Chairman, we have changed suppliers for that. We have had a number of issues with those coatings.
And the last thing, congratulations on the bluff clean-up. That was horrendous. Just seeing the photos of all those stones washed up, that storm was just amazing. And not to say that sort of thing's not going to happen in the future. So I guess having some additional funds popped into or some awareness of that climate mitigation in the future might be something to think of as well. But congratulations to the staff who got in there and really cleaned it up quickly. Okay, thanks.
Thanks, Alderman Milne. Are there any further speakers? I'll ask Alderman Rockliffe to close. Thank you. I'll put the recommendation. All those in favour, please say aye. Aye. Against, nay. The ayes have it. And at 6:04, I'll call the meeting closed. Thank you.